I think for me, I just started looking around at the options that were around in terms of starting my own business, you know, with a franchise and that sort of thing. And because I'd never run a business before, I'd never worked in the gardening sector or anything, landscaping sector before either. But I grew up with grandparents who were gardeners and parents that were gardeners and stuff. So I knew the basics because I've been around it all my life. Then yeah, made some phone calls. Obviously I called the gym's franchisor and he got back to me really quickly. I put in a request online through the gym's page. He got back to me within a couple of hours, which was cool. I did contact a couple of other, you know, our competitors, for lack of a better term, and I'm still waiting to hear from some of them.
So thank you very much for joining us today, Tristan, on the Gym's Podcast and Gym's Mung Podcast as well. You're one of our court voucher winners. You got a fantastic star rating. You got 173 ratings on our system, which I can see here at an average of 4.9 stars, which is a fantastic effort since 2020. So let's just start off with the first question we always ask people is, what were you doing prior to gyms?
Before gyms, I was working for Hutchison Builders, a big national building company. I was a safety officer for them. So yeah, I worked for them for about 4 or 5 years out in the mining sector and then out in sort of central Queensland, and then came back to work on the Gold Coast for a while. And yeah.
And what prompted the change for you?
COVID. So it was a stress thing, really. COVID hit and stress went through the roof. I was working ridiculous hours, six days, 7 days a week, 16-hour days. You know, I'd do 12 hours on site and then do another 4 hours on the computer at home. And no life and just constantly being harassed by all the interested parties of a construction build. And yeah, just had enough.
Yeah, well, just obviously you got a young family and stuff like that as well. It wouldn't have gone well with all that, or?
Oh, yeah, no, it was terrible. I remember the day my four-year-old was born, I got a call from the team leader wanting to know where some documents were.
Really?
Yep. And then
they knew you were having...
I'd texted him a few hours earlier saying the baby was just born and all healthy, and still got the phone call saying, where are the asbestos documents for this job site? But anyway, and then on his first birthday, it was during all those dust storms we had a couple of years ago. And again, I was called into a teleconference phone call while they're singing happy birthday to my son. And that's sort of when I decided, no, it's time to live on my terms, I think. I've had enough of this. So
thanks for sharing that, because I think it's really important for people to hear that, because I've interviewed a few people and that had similar sort of experiences with workplaces and bosses and that sort of attitude towards their staff, which is not good to hear. But so when you sort of get to that sort of stage and you're thinking, geez, I've got to do something else, what did you do? Like, was there, how did you, because it can be quite confusing. You work in this career, you know, you're doing well in this line of work, and then you're thinking, geez, I better get out and do something else. So where do you start?
I think for me, I started looking around at the options that were around in terms of, you know, starting my own business, you know, with a franchise and that sort of thing. And because I'd never run a business before, I'd never worked in the gardening sector or anything, landscaping sector before either. But I grew up with grandparents who were gardeners and parents that were gardeners and stuff. So I knew the basics because I'd been around it all my life. Then yeah, made some phone calls. I called a couple of the, I called the gym's franchisor and he got back to me really quickly. Actually, I put in a request online through the gym's page. He got back to me within a couple of hours, which was cool. I did contact a couple of other, you know, our competitors, for lack of a better term, and I'm still waiting to hear from some of them. One of them got back to me, but he was really just not, I don't know, just didn't sell it to me the same way that Ian sold it to me. And you know, Ian started throwing all these big numbers at me about what these guys were making. And yeah, I sort of thought he was a bit full of rubbish. From there, I asked him for the contact details of all the franchisees in the area. And I started calling them and asking them point blank what they were making, how much money they were making. And they all told the same story. And I went home and told the wife, and she thought I was full of rubbish as well. But then, you know, we had another sit down meeting. And then, yeah, within 3 months, I think, from the initial phone call, I was working for gyms. Or run a money.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, because the money thing, sometimes people, when we put a lot of stuff online, we know we don't hide it. And people just assume it's just mowing lawns and that's all you do and you can't make any more money doing that. But maybe I'll talk about just in what you're doing in your business, what type of work you're doing. Maybe talk about some of the size of the jobs and the different things you're doing for customers.
Yeah. So initially, I mean, this time of year, moving into summer, we try to move more towards the mowing and away from the landscaping and stuff like that. But up in Brizzy at the moment, we haven't had rain in months and it's dry as a bone. My lawn's dead. Everyone's lawn's dead at the moment. So at the moment we're doing, you know, I've still got plenty of work coming in, but it's a lot more landscaping than I would normally be doing in October. Yeah, mate, some of the jobs, you know, I've just landed a job that I think it's, well, there's two separate quotes for the same guy, and they'll be in excess of $10,000 for work for me and my team. just, yeah, phenomenal money if you quote things properly, and you obviously you got to sell yourself properly and those sort of things, and become the solution for your clients, and then yeah, the money comes. It's loving what you do. I think that's what creates the money. I can't wait to get out of bed and go to work in the morning, and that's the reason why I'm successful in what I do, and why my profit margins are just going up and up and up, because I love what I do, and I express that when clients meet me there, they become passionate about their yards as well, because I am.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you said at the start you didn't have a background in it as well. So let's talk about the training. So you come down, or was it, did you do the training in Melbourne, or did you do it online?
I missed out on that little junket.
You did it
down because of COVID. So I did it all online. I still might come down and do the training in Melbourne.
You should. You should. There's enough of it.
Fun more than anything. Always fun to come down to Melbourne for a weekend.
Would you allow to? Anyone who's done it online during COVID wants to come down can do it again in person. That's for free.
Somewhere. Yeah. I think it'd be handy now that I'm a couple of years in. Obviously, I've got the heading on, you know, how to do the job and how to schedule and all those things and how to price. But I think going down and meeting some of the veterans and some of the guys who really know what they're doing in terms of, you know, maximizing their business, I think it could be real beneficial for me to come down and, you know, pick their brains on the expansion side of things more than just the how to quote a job and how to mow a lawn sort of thing.
Well, we've got a couple of good guys down here, like John and stuff, who've got teams of like Aiden, got factories and stuff like that. So yeah, if you ever want to come down, we can put you in contact with them.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's got to be on the cards in the next 12 months, I think, as the business is expanding. So yeah.
So how did you go then getting, so obviously during COVID is a different time, but just for people who don't know, the training's in Melbourne, you do your 6 days here, you go out in the field and stuff. But whereas with you, how was it, obviously you did the online component, but did you go as a franchisee for a little bit, or how did that all work?
So yeah, I was went out on, it wasn't even a full day. It was about 4 or 5 hours. I went out with a franchisee who's now one of the franchisors in our region. So he's been around for 10, 11 years, I think, knows his stuff. And that was really beneficial, just learning some of the tricks of the trade and obviously learning how to quote. Because that's my biggest fear coming in was just, what do I charge for a job? And what if I get the quotes wrong and all that sort of stuff? And I still get quotes wrong 3 years later. But, you know, you suck it up and get on with it. But, you know, learning from him was really handy. Yeah, and it was basically just out into it. I finished up with my old employer 1 week, like on the Friday. And then I did the training, a full week of training. In that time, I did the 4 hours with the franchisee. It was pretty much starting on the Monday after. So there was no downtime. There was no time to muck around. It was just straight into it. So I threw myself in the deep end and didn't give myself too many options about.
You couldn't, yeah, you had to succeed, right?
Well, that's it. The bull's coming in, so.
Yeah, so when you got, like when obviously you would have come across different things that you didn't know about and stuff, was it just a matter of contacting your franchisor or talking to that franchisee, or how did you sort of learn as you went?
Yeah, so I mean, franchisors are great. Some of the veteran franchisees are awesome as well. I'm in a few online like Facebook groups and stuff about gardening and lawn care and all that sort of stuff, both gyms related and independent guys as well. Yeah, it's just about networking and finding the information you need. The biggest thing that I've found is even just talking to guys at the dump, you know, talking to other Lonnies at the dump about what they're doing and how they do things and what their pricing's like and all those sort of things, that you get a bit of an idea how your area sort of rolls along and you go from there sort of thing. So
now, what would you sort of give yourself as advice back if you were starting again? What are some things or some tricks and things you know now you think, geez, if only I knew that back then when I started?
Oh, well, I suppose it was the biggest thing is fear, hey? When I started, the biggest thing for me was fear. Firstly, obviously not knowing how to price, never run a business before. Literally, I bought myself a FS56 whippersnipper about 5 days before I started the business. And then I brought it home, tried to do my own lawn and flooded the thing and couldn't start it. And I remember running in and just having a full meltdown thinking, and my wife, what's going on? I'm like, I've started this business in like 4 days and I can't even start a whippersnipper. We're screwed. I've stuffed this. Because I took my wife's 20 grand and my 20 grand from Super to pay for all my business setup and trailer and all that sort of stuff. And so I was like, I've just wasted all this money. And, you know, so the biggest thing was fear. And the other thing is, yeah, I mean, it's all based around that confidence, but it's knowing my value. Now back in the day when I started, I'd let myself be pushed around by customers a bit. I'd let myself negotiate on price and let them dictate terms. Now, no, I run my business. I don't let anyone else run my business. My price, you know, I know I'm the best best lawny and best gardener in my area, and you're going to pay for that privilege. I guarantee I'll do the best job. I guarantee I've got the best guys and best follow-up and all that stuff, but you're paying for that privilege, and I don't have any bones about that. So it's a confidence thing more than anything. And I mean, even some of the services that I'm offering now, that, like I said, I couldn't even start a Webster before 3 years ago, and now I'm doing, you know, lawn renovations and full garden installations and all sorts of things. You know, that big one that I just landed is for a body corporate, massive, big 200 townhouse property around the corner. You know, that's going to lead to ongoing work. It's going to be tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars down the track. So it's the confidence that comes from being a part of this brand and that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's what I'd be telling myself day one, is just back yourself, know what you can do. And if you don't know, find somebody to know who knows what they're doing and work it out.
I've seen some amazing insights that I love the part about the fear part. A lot of people who work, you know, jobs like yourself, which are very highly skilled jobs, and you're really good at what you do, but for whatever reason, they don't think that confidence, or they don't really realize how good they are, I guess, in a way, sometimes. Yeah. And then until the last they get into their business, and then you have this vehicle where you can really put all that great skills and knowledge and attitude you've got from your previous work, and just you don't realize how good you've got skill-wise, and then you get stuck in that sort of thing of your fortnightly pay and the fear of change. And
Well, 100%. The amount of work that I get, because, like, I mean, I've grown up on construction sites. I'm a handyman. There's not many trades that I haven't had a crack at, except electrical and plumbing. But you know, I've done just about everything. You know, I can hang doors. I can fix, you know, fences, all that stuff. I don't obviously advertise that stuff, but, you know, when a client comes to me with problems, I can solve their problem. And when I'm at their property, I say, hey, look, I've just noticed that your gate's not hanging straight. If you want, I can fix that. And all of those little things, the amount of additional money I've made from those skills that I didn't learn here, I've learned, you know, along with my past, it's amazing. So
now, what's to you then, Tristan, is great customer service, because you've got a really good customer service rating. You've talked about some things before. What to you, though, is good customer service in this industry?
Well, it's like I've said a couple of times, it's about being the solution, hey? Some of my biggest clients, and like, I do a lot of work for a number of aged care organizations like Anglicare and Blue Care and that sort of stuff, and obviously a lot of real estate agents, so, and body corporates and those sort of things. Now, they sit in an office, they don't want to have to call 40 different contractors to sort a problem out. They want to be able to call one guy and know that they can get everything sorted through that one guy. They'll pay the premium to take the stress off them, because they've got 40 other emails and phone calls they've got to get to that came through this morning. So that's the biggest thing for me, is being that solution. You know, like, there's nothing I'll say no to. If a client comes to me, like, I've got a real estate client, and they'll call me and say, hey, we've got a door that's not hanging properly. Can you sort it out? Yep, sweet. I'll be around and I'll get it sorted. There's just all stuff like that. You solve the problems. You become that one-stop solution for your clients, and they never stop calling. They pass it on to their colleagues, and then all of a sudden you've got a network of, you know, people finding your work, which is what it's all about, you know?
Fantastic. I was going to say, what's to you so far has been the most rewarding thing? Is it being financial for you? Has it been family, or just not having the stress, or what's it been for you?
It's the freedom, man. I didn't get into this job for the money. The money's fantastic, don't get me wrong. It's the best money I've made in my life, if I haven't already made that clear. But that's not what I got into it for. I got into it for my mental health. I was stressed out, like, I was depressed when I left the construction industry, and I got into this industry solely because I love being in the garden. And I've always loved that sort of stuff. And so it was about my mental health. And now, 3 years on, with the freedom that I've got to, because I've obviously got the clientele, I can choose the work that I want to do. I choose the times that I want to do it. I love my fishing. And as soon as the trout season opens up, northern New South Wales, I take a few days off, you know, so I have a long weekend. I go down fishing and nobody hassles me. No, you know what I mean? That's what it's about for me, man. It's about the freedom. It's about being able to go, right, my son's got a sports carnival on tomorrow, I'm not going. I'm not going to work, I'm going to go to sports carnival. Or, you know, like, on school holidays, my son loves his fishing too, so, you know, we'll take a day off and I'll get to take him fishing. And, you know, all that's what it's about.
I might have spent
it, but it's the freedom, man, and that's what it's about. So
that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear. And thanks for talking about the mental health component of it as well. There's a lot of people who probably relate to you and might be listening to this as part of their due diligence process and haven't taken the leap yet. But it's great to showed an example of yourself who was in that situation, who's been able to go to where you are now, just the changes it's been. What have people been saying to you since been doing their business? Have they noticed a change in you, and have they commented about maybe a bit more laid back now, or what are they?
Yeah. Well, I'm heaps happier, and everyone can see it, that I'm heaps happier than what I was in construction. You know, I had this reasonably high sort of managerial position, and that's, I had all the status and all that stuff, but you can have that.
I love to hear that point that, like, a lot of people, their job is their identity, right?
Yep.
A lot of the time you meet someone and say, what do you do, right? It's the first thing you do, and people judge each other depending on what they say, but they don't understand all about the stress that comes up. So how did you go about pulling yourself away from that identity early on? Was it a bit of a hard transition, or was it just got to a point where they were that overstepping the mark with you, you just didn't care and just went, how was that whole thing?
No, it was hard, of course. I spent decades in the construction industry working my way up, and I got to a point where I was in, you know, like I say, a sort of senior management position within the team that I was part of, managing, I think it was $350 million worth of work. Like, it was,
wow.
Like, you know, I had all the prestige and all that stuff, and it was difficult, you know. Well, you want to give all that away to be a lawnmower man? Like, that was the sort of responses I got from people, right? Yeah, it was tough, but, you know, at the end of the day, now I'm a business owner turning over. Last year, I turned over 250,000. I'll be turning over 300 this year, aiming for 5, but, you know, we'll see how we go. So, I mean, yes, I'm, you know, people might say, oh, just the mower man, but that's not what I am. You know, I'm a business owner. I'm a self-made man. You know, I've done it all myself. You know, I started with no clients in an area where gyms hadn't been before. We'd never had a gyms mowing Mount Cotton before me, as far as I was aware. And now I've built a business in 3 years. It's, you know, turning over more than most people will ever make. So it was tough, but looking back, it was the best decision I've ever made, because I'm working the least amount I've ever worked and I'm making the most money I've ever made. And I couldn't care what people think, mate. Like, honestly, I don't have it here with me. I should have, if I knew you were going to ask this question, I would have had it here. But one of my clients is a producer on Gardening Australia, and she always, you know, she got Costa to make me a little thank you video one.
The guy with the beard, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He made a little video of all, but, you know, one of those cameo videos for me. But anyway, we were there a month ago, and she came out with this Gardening Australia merch, and she bought a t-shirt that says Head Gardener. Now, and I looked at it, and I still love that shirt. I wear it everywhere. You know, it's the only, like, I've had all these titles over the years, but the only title that I've really, really, truly, honestly, if I'm honest with myself, the only title I'd be proud of is Gardener. And I love it. Like, it's might not be for everyone, but it's definitely for me. Yeah, I just, like, can't talk highly enough about it, man. I love it.
That's some great insights, Tristan. Obviously, you said the family and the freedom was the first thing. And you're right. There's such a silly stigma around, not stigma, but, like, people think you're sold that thing. You got to go to uni, or you got to go and work at, you know, 20, 30 years, and, you know, yeah, you get the payoff at the end. But, you know, you don't, tomorrow's never guaranteed. And, you know, that family time of your kid growing up, you can't just get that back 10 years down the track, you know. So you've only got one sort of time with it. And this whole, and I've got a mate of mine who actually, not with gyms, but I obviously know they're a franchisee, but owns a cleaning business, and he left a really high-up job at the bank. And the same thing was from his workmates, pretty high-up job. And what are you going to do cleaning for? Why would you want to be a cleaner? He went and bought a commercial cleaning business that does extremely well. It's similar to you, works less and makes far more money. But there's just this silly, stigma or just incorrect notion of what you guys can earn financially, but also just the lifestyle and the mental health and the family benefits that all comes with being a gym franchisee.
That's it, man. It's the best kept secret. Almost. I got a mate who's he's a partner for one of the big real estate firms. And he's my age. He's a millionaire. That's great. He's got a couple of kids. Doesn't see him. He sees him on the 2 week holiday every year. When, you know, because he goes to work before they wake up. He comes home, he'll have dinner, and then he goes back out, you know, till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So he sees them for maybe half an hour a day. Yeah, no, that's not living, man.
My kids are
my world. And, you know, I get to spend as much time as I want with them. And if I want to take a day off to go watch, you know, my son do athletics, then I'll do it. And I'll help out and whatever else, you know. And I'll take him and his mates fishing, or I'll take him to them surfing or whatever it is. And people don't have that luxury like I do, man. And that's worth more money than... Well, that's worth more than any dollar for you, isn't it, really, for me?
No, for sure. And I was going to say as well, equipment then? What equipment do you use at the moment? What do you recommend? What are your thoughts around equipment? Something I ask everyone, and especially the mowing guys, and everyone's a little bit different in their setup. So what setup are you running?
So I don't have a straight whippersnipper. I only use the steel KM units. So I've got 6 of them that I just pull apart, and they're all Frankensteins. I pull them all apart and fix them all up. And so I've got all the attachments for them, a couple of pole saws, a couple of trimmers, 3 or 4 whippersnippers and whatever else. So that's what I use for my snipping and edging and hedging and all that stuff. The mowing, I've got a couple of Honda HRU 216s. just got a new one. Well, it's not new. It's older than me, but it was given to me by a customer. She didn't want it anymore, so I fixed it up, and now I've got a third 216. I've got a Hustler ride-on that I use occasionally. I'm using it less and less now, if I'm honest, because I just bought myself a brand new Wright 32B stand-up. And yeah, mate, she's my baby. Amanda, the stand-up, I love it. It's saving me, even already, it's saving me hours a week. And so as summer kicks in and then the lawns start really taking off, that thing's going to make me phenomenal.
Money-making machines, those things. Yeah.
And the best bit about it is you get covered in dust, so that sucks. But the best bit about it is you're not pushing a 60-kilo mower around all day every day. You know, you're sitting on the back of this thing getting driven around.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing machines. From the brand of the Skag stand, I'm familiar with those set up, and they're awesome machines. Money-making machines, those things are.
Yeah, no, like the time saving and the physical labor saving is incredible.
Now, the question we always get as well is about expenses and fees, the gym and all that sort of stuff. So just describe to people, do you think the fees are fair in proportion to what your business brings in, or how do you sort of see that, all that?
So roughly I pay around about $850 a month, right? So that works out to be about $220 a week-ish, $215 a week. If I was an independent guy, so if I was Tristan's Mowing or, you know, whatever I wanted to be, I'd have to have my own social media. I'd have to have my own. I'd have my wife would have to be home taking phone calls if I couldn't be there. I'd be paying for all my own signage and all my own advertising and all that stuff. Would I be spending more than $200 a week on that? Man, in a heartbeat. Your Facebook ads, you're going to be to get a decent amount of coverage on social media, you're looking at least $100 a day to get a really good inundation of your local area. You want $50 to $100 a day. So right there, you're spending $350 a week on the advertising for your business. Then you've got to spend the time to make the ads, and then you've got to spend the time to respond to all that stuff and filter, you know, all the tire kickers from everyone else. So yeah, is that $210 worth it, man? Every day of the week, because that's the way I look at it, man. All the work does not stop coming ever, and it's like a tap. You can turn it on and off as much as you like, take as much work as you want, as little as you want. And I do none of that back office stuff. Like, I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have Instagram. I don't have to do any of that social media. I don't have to do any of that advertising, any of that stuff. To me, that's time back in my pocket where I can be out making money. So
it's a fantastic point. Well, you said that that's cost, and obviously Google Ads and stuff, if people want to go that route. It's very expensive as well. And a lot of money. And what are so much of the other expenses so people might know? Obviously, you got your equipment you got to purchase. You've got some fuel and stuff. It's obviously vehicle expenses. But most of these things are obviously deductions. So are there any other costs that people should be aware of when doing this sort of thing?
I mean, just the consumables, I suppose, is a, like when you're starting out, that's a bit of a hidden thing, you know, in terms of, you know, how much buying 500 meters of whip snipper cords, you know, not cheap at all those sort of things that you don't sort of expect in the initial outlay. A lot of your poisons and stuff like that can be pretty expensive, so you've got to be pretty confident with how you use them. But again, that comes from, you know, speaking to people around you and getting that information so you're not buying the wrong stuff and that sort of thing. So yeah, some of those consumables are a big cost. Learning how to service your own gear, like that's a cost that when I started, I didn't factor in. And I remember taking my 216 in for a service and they charged me $100 and something for it. And the mower was out of action for a day and a half. I service all my own gear now. Like I told you, I couldn't even start my whippersnapper when I first got it. And now I literally pull them apart, clean the carburetors completely, service, like completely pull the whole thing apart, put them all, like I've become a small engine mechanic just from mucking around in the shed. But that comes from necessity, hey? As things break as a business, like to me, one of the biggest things in business is not like, yeah, I'm a mower man and yeah, I'm a gardener, but my biggest job is solving problems. And I've said that about solving problems for the customer, but like every day there's problems come up in your business, like a machine breaks, you know, something. You run out of something. You got to find solutions to those problems, and the solutions aren't always pay somebody else to do it. Sometimes it's just getting on YouTube, getting your hands a bit dirty, cracking a beer, and working out how to fix the bloody mower. And it takes a bit of time and a bit of frustration, and you know there's a few four-letter words yelled in the shed every now and then. But you learn these things, and all of a sudden you save yourself $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $800,000, whatever it is, every time you got to fix your gear because you're doing it yourself. I did it on the weekend. I did some servicing on my ride-on, and that would have cost me $300 or $400 if I'd taken it to a shop. took me an hour of my time because I learned how to do all these things over time. So that's a cost that I didn't think of initially, but it was a cost that I've been able to mitigate just by putting in the hours and learning.
Fantastic advice. And YouTube, people may laugh sometimes, but YouTube's got everything you need on it, whether it be landscaping, grass, mate, lawn maintenance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maintenance is everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Is there any channels you recommend, or how did you look at this sort of stuff?
Oh, mate, no. There's a bunch of American ones. It's just about finding your specific piece of equipment. That can be the trick sometimes. But, you know, annoy the hell out of your local store, local shop. You know, if they want your business, they'll help you out. You know, ask them if you can go back and learn how to do this stuff. And they might say no, but if they say yes, you're learning something for free. Yeah.
Right. I was going to say as well, and how are the boys up there, Ian and John, been to you? Because obviously there's people outside gyms, not on it now, but we have things called franchisors.
Yep.
Franchisors look after the region, and there is your point of contact for a lot of things. So how have they been for you over the 3 years?
Yeah, so Ian was the guy that I initially contacted me, yeah. He's been awesome. So I actually took over a couple of his customers because he'd only just recently become a franchisor when I started, and he was trying to palm off some customers. And so I took a couple of his customers early on. He just out of the goodness of his heart gave them to me and gave me a bit of a start, which was good. And John was the guy I went out training with on that initial training day. So they've been awesome. And now moving on, I've just recently sold a split. So I've built my region up to a point where I could afford to sell part of the region. So I've sold that off, and Ian's taken care of all of that, and he's been phenomenal. I literally just called him up and said, mate, I've got a split to sell. And he's found the client, organized the paperwork, he's done everything. I just showed up to the pub, signed a few forms, had a beer, and cheers. Thanks, mate.
There's been a nice chunk of cash.
It's been great. So, and John's also fantastic because he's been around so long. He doesn't know. Because he's seen it all. He's been through a couple of droughts. He's been through plenty of, you know, of wet summers as well. So he knows what to expect and how to sort of plan your business for those sort of things. So he's been amazing in that sort of stuff in terms of strategic advice on what to do and what, you know, even what products to use and who to contact to get onto certain information. So the pair of them together, they're a pretty great team. I think they're winning the award, which is good to have.
Yeah. No, the boys are down here for at least Queensland, I think it was. So
yeah.
And I'm down here. But it's great to hear that there'd be great support. So you just want to outline that for people who might not know, because in gyms we have a franchisor system, which might not seem that common to people outside of gyms, but that's great to hear that the boys have been there able to assist you.
I think also on top of that, we've got, there's a Facebook group for all of the gyms guys in.
Yep. And your region.
Yeah. But then aside from that, there's a messenger group because I'm over on the Bayside of Brizzy. And so there's a messenger group where all of us Bayside guys are together. Having those, and Ian's in there as well because he's Bayside. And having those, like, it's just phenomenal. Like there's guys there who know, you know, they're all lawn. I'm no lawn guru. I'm no lawn fanatic. My lawn looks like a, oh man, it's horrible. It's like a mechanic with his car, right?
Yeah.
But there's guys in that group who are lawn fanatics, and they know everything about how to turn a lawn from a dirt patch to the most pristine gabba grass you've seen. So having those sort of guys, those veteran guys, they may not have been in business as long as me, but they've got the technical skill that I don't have. I'm bloody good at winning work, mate, but I'm you know, if you ask me how to rejuvenate your lawn and stuff, you know, there's better guys than me who know how to do that stuff. But learning from those guys and getting those skills, mate, it's the best network in the world, honestly. The gyms network is the best network in the world.
Well, it's a great point you made, because there's so diverse range of people. Like, you've got people who come in, like yourself, unrelated, working to being a franchisee, but there's people who come to gyms mowing who are greenskeepers for 15 years. You know, so you've got that guy coming in. So for people who, like, you know, when they use the gyms mowing franchisee, it's not just using you, but if you do, you've got access to a massive range of experience, whereas if you do need someone, they can come and help you, which I don't think customers really, we don't promote that point overly as much, but that's something that people really should know.
Well, that's it, mate. Like, and it's even the support. Like, if you show up as a rookie in your first week, and it happened to me, and it happens to a lot of guys, because you get the additional leads when you start, right? And then you'll end up getting some job lead come through for the biggest cleanup you've ever seen. And you walk in, you don't know how to do it. You don't know what you're looking at, because there's, you know, it might be 10 grand or, you know, 5 grand's worth of work, and you're worried about charging somebody $88 for a mow because you think it's too expensive. And then you're looking at a job that's going to take 2 weeks or whatever it is. the best thing about the network is that you can call up some of the guys close to you and say, hey, do you want to come and give us a hand quoting this job and we'll split it? We'll go halves on it. Or, you know, if I'm only helping, I'll only take a little bit or whatever it is. I'm doing that tomorrow with the guy from Thornlands. Right. They're going out to meet a client because the guy from Thornlands has got some, I believe he's got some health issues going on. So he's not confident to take on that big of a job. And so he's put the word out on the messenger page today. Anyone want to come and help me quote cleanup job and we'll split it, because he knows he can't manage it himself. He doesn't have any employees like I do. And so, yeah, I'm going to go look at it tomorrow. We'll quote that up and split the job. It's great for him because he gets to solve the problem for his client. It's great for me because I keep my employees working for a day or two. So it's win-win for everyone. And that happens all the time. Well, at least in our region. I don't know about other regions, but it happens all the time in our region. Guys are always splitting jobs in our region because, like you say, people have got skills, people have got talents, people have got resources that others don't. So,
and you've got a good culture as well in your region. I remember I set up that group for the boys. They asked me to set up that Facebook group ages ago. And we sort of see some of the stuff and everyone's just real helpful and there's so much knowledge that's getting shared. And, you know, I've got a customer, I can't do this guy tomorrow anymore, but this job, and within 5 minutes, someone's responding and stuff. And it's fantastic to hear that happens all the time.
Well, and the biggest thing is that the client's getting a solution. And that's massive because that means they're going to come back. Whether they use us this time, you know, use the gym's group this time, doesn't matter. We've solved their problem. And so they will come back. Always happens. Like I deal with all of my clients. If I go out and I price a job, and I'm expensive, man, I buy quote bloody high for some of the areas I work in, I quote really high. And I know I'm not going to win the job solely because I walk in and you get an idea, right? But I don't just go, hey, that's my price, see you later. I'll go, hey, that's my price, but if I understand if that's too much and that's fine. Here's the number of some other guys who have got, like, I've got employees, I've got all of this, that, and the next thing. So my costs are higher, so I've got to charge more. These guys don't have these costs, so they might be able to do you a better deal. It gives the client a solution, which means they're going to come back. And so many times I might not have won the mo, but then, you know, in a year's time when they decide they've got this tree that's got to come down, or they've got this, that, and the next thing, or they've got a wedding that's happening tomorrow and they've got to clean the yard up, they call me and I solve the problem. Because I solved their problem last time by putting them onto somebody else. And so, like, that's one of the massive things from the network is just being able to solve more problems so that it creates more work, which is, it's awesome.
Someone was in your position looking back now, or what sort of questions could they be asking? Let's say they ring up you and ask you, you know, about being a franchisee. What are the things they should ask you, or what are the things would you tell them if they're looking at doing a Jim's Mailing franchise?
Well, what would I tell them? Just do it. You probably hear that a lot.
What helped you when you were talking? Was it more of a money thing, or was it, because obviously you said the freedom was the thing you loved the most.
Yeah.
Or was it initially the money thing, just knowing that I could financially support myself having a crack at this thing? Or what?
Well, so I'm not going to lie, that $1,500, it might be more now, I don't know, $1,500 guarantee. Yeah. When I started, it was $1,500. I never had to use it, but that was like, for my wife who was a little bit skeptical, that was the thing. It was like, righto, well, we know we're going to make at least as much as you used to make, so let's give it a go. I never had to use it, obviously, but knowing that that was there was handy, and that sort of gave me the confidence to launch. What sort of questions would you ask? Would I ask me if I was to have my time again? I'd be asking about skills, what skills I need to do the jobs that I do. The biggest skill you need is networking, man. The ability to talk to people. If you can talk to people and have a conversation, be positive with people, then the door's open. And whether that's with a client or whether that's with, you know, the arborist down the street who's now going to be your tree guy and does all your tree work and you just put 20% on his price and get paid for nothing. Or whether it's, you know, the other contractor, the other independent solo contractor down the street who you use, you know, you refer to jobs that are just like, can't manage my price range. You know, it's all, if you can develop those networking skills, then anything is possible. And it's not about how good you are at mowing, because everyone can mow a lot. It's not about how good you are at pricing things, because I still stuff that up. Everyone stuffs it up. It's about how well you are at speaking to people and building relationships. People call gyms because they trust the brand, but they stay with me because they invest in me as a business owner. They don't stay with me mowing their lawn because I'm Jim's mowing. They stay with me mowing their lawn because they trust me. They know that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do and that I'm going to do the best job for them. And I'm going to do it with a smile on my face and they're going to be happy. And there's a reliability there and all that sort of stuff. So they invest in me. And so that's, but that's not come from the brand. That's not come from a skill or anything like that. That's come from me having been great at speaking to people and building relationships. And that's the biggest skill, I think.
No, it's great you said that, because a lot of people think, oh, I don't have this skill, or I can't build a fence, or I can't do this or what. But as you said, it's not, that's not the problem. It's the other thing, just talking to people and networking and
100%.
That, those other things.
100%. Dude, like I said, I couldn't start a whippersnapper when I started. Man, even 2 weeks ago, I didn't know how to do lawn rejuvenation stuff, but I got a job request come through, and lo and behold, I've got to learn how to do quarrying and aeration. So contacted a couple of dudes on the network and, yeah, made myself $1,500 last week quarrying and aerating a lawn.
Like, hey, well, now you know how to do it. You can promote it now. Move.
Well, that's it. Now I've got to go from here. I've got to go do a quote doing exactly that, and then another one tomorrow. So,
yeah, man. So
I've just expanded my knowledge, you know, from something that I knew nothing how to do, didn't know how to do at all even 3 weeks ago.
That's fantastic, mate. Well, look, it's been great talking to Tristan. Thank you for making the time for us as well. Really great to hear about your success as well. It's been the online training. If people did the online training, generally what we know, didn't do as well as people did the in-person training. So it's great to hear how well you're doing. If you do want to come down to the gym's training experience as well, it's for free as well for the franchisees. So if people want to come down and we might forget to talk to the group or something, because I reckon your story would be great to share with the people in there. There'd be pretty few people might be similar sort of backgrounds to you. Not knowing what to expect, so it'd be great to have you down and talk to them. I reckon it'd be fantastic, mate. But we appreciate your time a lot, and we'll get this a core voucher to you as well, which is two free nights at any core hotel for you and your wife, and obviously 50% of dining and drinks. It's worth around $600. Now around 5 to 6 business days to come through by our emails. It's probably slow sometimes. That's on behalf of the gym script for being a star franchisee.
Sweet, man. Appreciate your time. It's been awesome.
No worries, Tristan. Thanks, mate. Look forward to sharing it. No, see you, mate. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131 546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.